Hello, hello.
Okay, good morning. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 4. We'll continue on. Exodus chapter 4. Then Moses answered and said, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" And the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A staff." Then he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail." So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. And the Lord furthermore said to him, "Now put your hand into your bosom." So he took his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, "Put your hand into your bosom again." So he put his hand into his bosom again, and when he took it out, his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. And it shall come about that if they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. But it shall be that if they will not believe even those two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth, or who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and will teach you what you are to say." But he said, "Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will." Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, "Is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently, and moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and it shall come about that he shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be as God to him. And you shall take in your hand this staff, in which you shall perform the signs." Then Moses departed and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Please let me go, that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see if they are still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead." So Moses took his wife and his sons and mounted them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. Moses also took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I said to you, let my son go that he may serve me, but you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn.' Now it came about at the lodging place on the way that the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet, and she said, 'You are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me.' So he let him alone. At that time, she said, 'You are a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision.' Now the Lord said to Aaron, 'Go to meet Moses in the wilderness.' So he went and met him at the mountain of God, and he kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord which he had with which he had sent him, and all the signs which had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and assembled all the elders of the sons of Israel, and Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. He then performed the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord was concerned about the sons of Israel, and that he had seen their affliction, then they bowed low and worshipped." Amen. There's actually a lot of stuff in this passage. I'm going to get to my main thought afterwards, okay? But before then, I want to touch on a couple different things. Notice the first one, constantly, God gives a command, and he says, "Moses, I want to use you. I want, you know, you to do this thing." And then, but the aftermath of that is that Moses continually, "Oh, no, you know, I can't do this," or whatever the case may be. Now, notice something quite interesting happens in verse 14. And so, you know, all these things, you know, "I can't do this," so on and so forth. And then God finally comes to him and says, well, and then he says, I can't speak. So can someone else speak for me? You know, basically, in other words, I'm not the man for the job. Can you get someone else to do it? And the Lord says, hey, man, who makes the deaf and the mute? Who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Isn't I the Lord? In other words, God was saying, hey, I can take care of whatever you need. You don't have to worry about your limitations. You don't have to make excuses about you can't do this or that. God will make it very clear and will make his powers available to us, but you just have to say yes. In church and, in life in general, as a believer, if God calls you to something, that means he's going to give you the ability to do it. There's a really well-known, you guys might have seen it on, if you're in the States, a bumper sticker on a car or something, or on a frame at a Christian's home, and it says, God doesn't call the equipped, God equips the called. In other words, God's not looking for finished products. It's nice when that happened as well, but God is looking for people that are just willing to be obedient, and if you're willing to be obedient, God's going to equip you. And so, so many times we get so worried about, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. I don't think that's really the right question to ask. The better question is, God, is this your will? Are you calling me to this? And if God's calling you to this, then there it goes. Now, notice what happens. This is the interesting part. So in verse 14, the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he struck Moses down. Okay? Now, notice that's not what the text says. But it's interesting. The anger, so God is now frustrated. So he finally says, hey, I can give you the power, Moses. And he demonstrated with his staff and his hand. Come on, how much more do you need? And then now it's like, okay, I can't speak. So it's excuse after excuse after excuse. And then he finishes off, end of 13, he says, well, Lord, send the message by whomever you will. Now, that sounds very plain and not, but actually it was very offensive to God. Moses was still saying, send somebody else, Lord. Not me, send somebody else. Whoever you will, but not me, basically. And then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and you would think that Moses would be struck down or whatnot. Now, catch this. The anger of God was connected in the introduction of Aaron. Now, there's nothing bad against Aaron or whatnot, but the job that Moses should have done is now given over to somebody else. And in some ways, that's a form of punishment. And it's hard for us to grasp. It's hard for me to grasp as well. But you have to reconcile the fact that his anger burned, and then yet with that, Aaron is introduced. Now, if you know the story of Aaron going forward, you know that this was not a very good match. There are a lot of problems that happen. So much so that, going to Numbers 12, such bad quarreling takes place that God has to come down himself, right, and strike basically, Aaron's wife. It's just a bad episode takes place. And the very place that Moses should have walked in, that Moses should have been the one, and now he's basically put to the side. He's still there, but now we add another element, Aaron, which eventually brings a tremendous amount of strife. It may have brought a certain personal relief for Moses, but the end result was bad news going forward, long term in that regard. And so the anger of the Lord burns, so God says, okay, Moses, this is what you want? Okay, this is what you're going to get. And Aaron's going to be introduced. It's very similar in my mind to the Israelites going from Samuel's day when they start asking for a king. And in other words, they weren't rejecting Samuel. God makes it very clear they were rejecting God. And so what does God do? God's anger burns, and he says, okay, you're going to get a king. Here's Saul. And bad news, long term. It would have been better if they would have stayed a theocracy and had God rule and whatnot. Now, there was backstory, okay, because Samuel had sons and they were really bad, right? And so not as bad as Eli's sons, but they didn't walk according to the ways of the Lord. And so as a result, the people didn't trust succession, but it's kind of like they just didn't trust God. Surely God can handle this matter. But they said, every other kingdom has a king. We want a king. And so the anger of the Lord burns, and they give him a king. And as a result, all kinds of bad things begin to happen over Israel. In that same regard, Moses saying, God, I can't do this thing. You know, I can't speak. You know, excuse after excuse. And then God says, all right, this is what you want. I'm going to bring Aaron into the mix. And Aaron comes into the mix and for the most part, creates quite a bit of turmoil, unfortunately. You know, he should not have been the priest, the first priest of the Levites. It should have been Moses. And what is, I mean, one aspect is what happens. A lot of strife happens. The other aspect is Moses doesn't walk into his fullness, unfortunately. And it doesn't, I mean, the person that misses out more than anyone else here is Moses. You know, in our time and age, when God calls us and we are afraid or we feel insecure, you know, that's more of focusing ourselves on ourselves instead of on God. It's more being self-centered. I'm not saying people are selfish, but more self-centered. In other words, their life revolves around self instead of around God in that regard. And so that's basically what ends up happening here. And so it's actually quite a sobering reminder, you know, if God calls you, I mean, we say it all the time here, just say yes. You know what I mean? Just say yes, Lord. It's the easiest course to take. It may be personally difficult, but again, if God calls you, right, the only answer is yes. There's no other way around it. And really, what ends up happening more is when that doesn't happen, the person that misses out the most will be yourself. It won't necessarily be your ministry or, I mean, those guys are going to miss out on God in you and all that stuff. But the person that really misses out more than anyone else is yourself. And I think it's a very sobering reminder of that for us today, okay? So he goes back home. Let me talk about one thing, and then I'll go to what I really want to talk about this morning. And so there's another kind of interesting passage. At 24, if we read this, now it came about at the lodging place on the way that the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet. And she said, you're indeed a bridegroom of blood to me. And so he let him alone. At that time, she said, you're a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. Now, Lord said to Aaron, go. And so we see this episode happening. Now, it sounds really weird, okay? Came out at the lodging place. So now Moses is obeying God. Rather, I would say, okay, I wouldn't say fully obeying God, but he's going on the path now. And so he gets permission, because he should, because, you know, Jethro, his father-in-law, he should get permission. You know, I shared yesterday, it's kind of like a Jacob, Rebecca kind of thing. And so he's taking care of his flocks. And so he comes, and in the course of this, he gets permission. He says, go in peace. And so he's on his way. And then the verse says that the Lord, he gets to that place, and God wants to kill him. Now, obviously, that's not really what's happening here. And it's interesting. You know, Moses wrote this, okay? And so you're getting a first-person look at a situation that's happening. And so what most scholars believe is that he either had two things. One, he was sick, and he had a sickness, okay? We don't know what it is, but he was sick enough that he could die. The other more plausible was that he made himself sick in this regard, and it dealt with circumcision. Remember, circumcision was, I think, all the way back in Genesis 17 or 10 or so, it's around there, but it's when Abraham, and he said the eighth day you need to circumcise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all these kind of things. And so what ends up happening here, you know, in this regard is that they come to this, he comes to this place, and his son was not circumcised. And so there may have been such conviction, such guilt. And, you know, his now he's got sons now, according to verse 20. We only read about one son, Gershon, a few chapters before. But now we know that he has sons, and apparently none of them have been circumcised. So the covenant relationship was sealed by circumcision. That was the one act of the Israelites going all the way back to Abraham that made it very clear, this is how you know that you're a covenant people by which you're circumcised. Now, his sons were not circumcised. And so, and thus, in his mind and in God's mind, he is breaking the law and in all kinds of things. And he's conformed to the ways of the world. And, so, and seemingly, it was a huge point of contention between Moses and his wife, Zipporah. Enough so that Moses is probably dying. This is why the scholars believe this, because they're sick to their, he's sick to his stomach, like, I should have circumcised my sons, you know, I'm about to do God's work, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going back to my people of Israel, you know, and even my sons are not, you know, true covenant people. And so he's feeling sick, so much so that Zipporah recognizes this, and so she goes with the stone, and she circumcises her sons, and then she throws the foreskin. I mean, can you imagine? It's a pretty crazy situation. Throws the foreskin on, and the verse is clear. It says, and touched his feet. So threw it at his feet, but it landed on his feet. You know, and you know, we like to think, wow, what a rude woman. Well, not necessarily. I think what she's trying to say is, Moses, I'm a bridegroom. Moses, I love you so much that I'm going to risk our son's life to do this for you. That's basically the intercourse that's happening here. You're a bridegroom. What is the exact word? Where are we at here? You are a bridegroom of blood. In other words, Moses, I love you so much. I know this is really hard for you. I know we fought about this, but you're sick to your stomach. I mean, you're sick to death, and you're dying, you're going crazy here, and so this is I love you, right? I'm going to risk my son, and his sons are grown at this stage, okay? So it's not 8 days, it was a long past. Can you imagine how painful that could be and whatnot? I mean, it's crazy, and so she does this thing, and he's alone. So I don't want you to think that that Moses is obeying God, right? And then God says, all right, I'm just going to kill him. You know, that's not really the situation that's going on. There's a whole other story to that. Now, what I do want to share for these next 5 minutes or so is really this beautiful word of the Lord. So Moses answers again. Now, remember, he's keep doubting through this whole thing. He already asked this question before. He's going to ask it again. What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? In verse 13 before, he said the same thing. Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel. I say to them, the God of your father has sent me. Now they say to me, who is his name? Or what is his name? And what shall I say to them? And he goes on. Now he takes a note. So what? Okay, so now they know who you are. But what if they don't believe me? Right? You know, what if, you know, they won't listen to what I say? And look what God does. And this is, I think it's quite powerful. What does the Lord say to him? He says, Moses, what's that in your hand? Right? What a word, right? What's that in your hand? And this is going to be my kind of commentary, my take on it. God is telling Moses, Moses, everything you need to succeed is already within you. You have everything you need. What's that in your hand? And what he was holding a staff. You know, it's a crook. Usually anywhere from 3 to 6 feet long, you know, as a shepherd tool. And it was just so simple. It wasn't like, okay, you need something from outside. You know, you need to go spend 10 years in school. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not going to hurt you. You need to do X, Y, Z. God, with God, it's just so simple. Hey, What's that in your hand? Oh, this thing? Throw it on the ground. And see, whenever we yield ourselves to God, God's power shines through. It's just really simple, you know. What's that in your hand? Everything you need to succeed is already within you. Everything, all your doubts, all those things that you say, I can't do this, God says, look, everything you need is already within you. Now, in a New Testament idea, of course, Holy Spirit is within us. Whom shall we fear, you know, in this regard? But it's so simple. It's, okay, Moses, what do you got? You got a staff? All right, God says, I'm going to use that staff. And he does miraculous powers through that staff. I mean, he moves in incredible wonder through that staff. I mean, isn't that amazing how simple, you know, the operation of God works in this way? Stretch out your hand, grasp it, you know, and then he throws it down, becomes a serpent. Stretch out your hand, grasp by its tail, and then again, he caught it, and it becomes a staff in his hand. I mean, what an amazing, you know, if in some way we could say it like this, if you only knew the power, I know that sounds really new agey, okay? But if you only knew the power that is already within you in Christ Jesus, I think you'd be changed. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about like have your own visions of grandeur or any of these things, but the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And if we only really truly grasp and understood what God has put inside of us, our gifts, our abilities, our acquired traits, our personalities, and how God has really moved in our lives in such a way, man, that's amazing. You know what I mean? It's such a simple word. You know, honestly, for me, this verse or this text really, really speaks to my life. And a lot of times, and a lot of it is, I had a friend of mine basically give me this as a prophetic word, actually one of my best friends. We end up having one of these conversations, like, you know, as friends, oh man, you know, I don't know if I could do this, da 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 da. And then he really just spoke this into my life, and he said, hey, do you remember Moses? And he said, what's that in your hand? In other words, everything you need to succeed is already within you. And that just really marked me. And so whenever I feel God calling me to something, calling the church to something, I always go back to this passage. I feel God says, hey, what do you got in your hands right now? You know, and we just say, Lord, I don't have much. I got just a little something. God says, that's good enough for me. Right? That's good enough for me. Have you ever heard this quote? It says, you can never be too small for God to use you, right? Only too big. And it's such a nice quote, isn't it? But it really is so full of the heart of God in this regard. It's just so simple. He says, even the little that you got, God says, I can use it. Right? I can use it. Very simple. What's that in your hand? And I hope that, you know, maybe this verse will do to you what it's done for me in my own personal life. And even in the life of the church as well. When you're afraid and when you're unsure, when you are trying to figure things out, when you're feeling very insecure, when you're having doubts, go back to the scriptures. Listen to the Lord. Hey, what's that in your hand? I don't know. It's not much, God. And God says, put it on the ground. Give it to me and watch what I can do with even the little that you have. And obviously we know that staff, man, you know, that shepherd's crook was powerful. Or I should say this, the staff wasn't powerful. God was powerful or is powerful. And that same way, you may feel like you don't have much to offer or you don't have this. And God says, man, you have no idea because God is powerful. Amen? So let's close our eyes today and As we meditate, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Are you in a stage or are you in a place today where you are feeling insecure about something that maybe God is asking to do? Are you doubting your abilities? You know, necessarily, that's nothing wrong with doubting your abilities. Just don't doubt God's abilities. I think that's the key. I think we should be suspect of our abilities, to be honest. Because if not, it could very much lead us to pride. So, maybe God is asking you to do something and you're feeling a bit shaken. Maybe you're like Moses, you're doubtful. Learning from the example of Moses and Aaron, don't let these opportunities slip, because really the only person that loses is you. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today to really draw your heart to Him. And maybe God's talking to you this morning. Just say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." You know, by saying "Lord," we automatically are saying yes. If He truly is Lord. Right. So as we sing, let's just meditate on that and see how where God takes us.
but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me.
Could probably add all kinds of different choruses to this song. Lord, I'm amazed at how you use me. Lord, I'm amazed at how you want to use me. I'm amazed at how you call me despite all kinds of stuff. Just want to encourage you to go before the Lord, and like I said, especially if you feel like God calling you to something, you feel like God whispering your heart, and you feel like, oh, I don't know, God. You know, in your heart, just say yes. You hear the words. Hey, what's that in your hand? In other words, I've given you everything you need to succeed. It's all within you. Just yield it to the Lord. Let's pray this morning in that regard. Let's pray for our community. Let's ask God's hand of healing over our friends and family members that are battling cancer or going through different treatments. Let's ask for God's healing word. Let's pray for our friends and family members that are sick, but also need to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for God's healing, and let's pray for that salvation to come through. Let's pray for those that are sick, that are ill with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to bring that healing word in their lives. Let's lift up. By the way, just as a quick praise report, Juanita's her INR thing is perfect. So she said thank you to everyone that was praying. So she'll be here on Wednesday. So everything is all set. So thanks. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision in their life, and the Lord will just really move upon them. Let's pray over our mission focus, and let's pray for North, South Korea, and for Japan. Bless our communities that are there. Pray for God's hand to be upon the people in these countries, and the Lord will just really move upon them powerfully. Let's pray for IP, Well and Cascade. Pray for the leaders and the volunteers. Let's pray that the people that come to these ministries would be healed and touched and be made whole in the name of Jesus. Let's just pray. Let's pray for our men's and women's ministries. Let's pray for the prayer meetings coming up this Saturday. I know the guys are having a soaking time, and the ladies will be having their prayer meeting Saturday morning. Pray for the leaders. Pray for cohesiveness. Let's pray that men and women would be ministered into their individual needs. Let's lift up. Let's pray for Soho and Harborside. Let's pray for God to really bless our meetings tonight, and the leaders would lead the discussions well, and people would just be drawn closer to God. Let's just lift up. Pray for our outreach tonight, SP Lights. Pray as the ladies go out and they continue to make deeper connections and really have wisdom to speak life into that industry. Let's cover our friends going out tonight. And lastly, let's pray for the retreat. Let's pray for our guest speaker, Benjamin Robinson. Let's pray for God to really use him and would speak to him, to speak into our community. Pray for all the logistics. Pray for people's schedules. Pray for flights for our friends coming in from Singapore, Beijing. Just cover all the logistics, all the planning, and especially the people that we would prepare our hearts to meet with God this next week and a half before the retreat. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the encouraging word. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to be obedient, Lord, when you call us, that we don't focus so much on ourselves, God, but we just put our eyes, fix our eyes on you, Lord. We just thank you, God. Watch over us today, Lord. Help us to give your Son, Jesus the Christ, all the glory that he deserves. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.